I thought she was crazy, but we signed up for it and did it and had fun with that. And then right after that, she said, well, now we should do a half marathon. And I said, okay, and then fly to the moon after that, right?
Diz Runs Radio episode 575 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, real quick before we dive into today's episode of the show, just want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by the good folks over at EnergyBits.com. They're an affiliate partner of the show. They've been an affiliate partner for a while now. And basically, you know, what EnergyBits do, and they've got a couple of different varieties. They've got the recovery bits, which is kind of more my jam, but I don't think there's really that much of a difference. Just subtle changes, but basically what they are tablets, pill form of algae, which may not sound the most appetizing thing. And if you chew them up, they definitely taste as green as can be. You know, when it comes to like green, if green had a flavor, the energy bits, the recovery bits would taste like that. But the reason I'm a fan is because, as I've said before, you know, I don't always get as many plants in my diet as maybe I should. Trying to get better, making some progress on that front. But, you know, an easy way for me to get some extra greens, and especially, you know, as you get into summer, cookout season, things like that, is to have, you know, some bits on hand, some energy bits, some recovery bits, whatever the case might be. Pop a handful here and there. You're getting all kinds of vitamins, minerals, proteins, the whole gamut, for, you know, basically, like I said, I mean, just a handful with some water, you're good to go. So, you know, if you're like me and you could use some more greens, some more plants in your diet, I would definitely encourage you to check out the bits. Again, energy bits, recovery bits. I think they have a wellness bits. There's a whole, a few different strains, different varieties, but all really good, all organic, healthy greens for you to add to your diet and supplement. And who knows, maybe give you a little extra pep, a little extra boost in the recovery, all things that are important to us as runners. So if you're interested, energybits.com is the website. And if you use the code DIZRUNS at checkout, you can save 20%. And that also throws a little couple of shekels my way as well, which is where the affiliate partner relationship comes into play. So if you're curious and you want to find out more information, again, energybits.com, or feel free to ask me. I'll let you know my experience, what my thoughts are, why I... you know, take a handful every day anyway, just because, like I said, more greens is never a bad thing. So energybits.com, use code DIZRUNS. And now let's go ahead and dive in to today's episode of the show. Hey guys, my guest today is someone that I bumped into on Twitter not too long ago and pretty much knew from the get-go that he'd be a good guest to have on the podcast. And why? Well, because he's a physical therapist who loves working with runners and, you know, helping us to be able to avoid injuries and run free of pain. And y'all know how much I enjoy a good running injury talk, and especially as it relates to preventing injuries in the first place. So this is my wheelhouse. It's something I enjoy talking about. We might nerd out a little bit on some form and some mechanics and things like that, but hopefully you'll learn something along the way. And with all that to be said, I'm excited to be able to dive deep today, and I hope that you are excited to learn a bit as well with none other than Mr. Mike Swinger. So thanks for joining us today, Mike, really appreciate it, and welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Denny. I'm excited to be here, and you've already given me permission to nerd out. So
hey, yes,
let's dive deep, huh?
Yeah, that's certainly the plan, and certainly, like I said, something that I enjoy doing. And before we get too deep into the weeds, I just want to let everybody know, if you want to check out Mike's website and what he's got going on, connected to my social media, all those types of things, and lots of videos on the website as well, which is always a good way to learn different, you know, stretches and exercises and things like that, visual instead of me trying to explain it on the podcast. So head over to runphys.com. That's RUNPHYS, like run physio, run physical therapist, run whatever you want, but runphys.com is the website. On the Instagram, the same handle, at runphys, RUNPHYS. And on the Twitters and on the Facebook, mixing things up just a little bit, at Mike Run Fizz. So MikeRunPhys on Twitter and on Facebook. And as per usual, I have everything linked up in the show notes for this episode, which you can get to by just heading over to dizruns.com/575. It'll take you right there. We'll have, obviously, Mike's contact information linked up, his website, maybe a video or two if it's something that we talk about today and is relevant to link to. Everything will be linked, dizruns.com/575. So, Mike, now that we got all of that stuff out of the way, the important stuff, the contact information and whatnot, time to dive in and have a good time today. And we're going to start off as we do in every episode. No surprise to anybody who's listened to the show before what this question is going to be. So we'll just get it out there and see what happens, because it's always just a fun place to start. And that's just to simply ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
Yeah, well, my favorite distance would definitely be the half marathon, and it seems like that's kind of a common answer with a lot of your guests, and I'll echo some of their sentiments. But at least for me, it's enough of a distance that it requires some real work and some commitment to build up to it and have a good experience on race day. But yet, it's not overwhelming, and it's not something that you're going to feel like your body is wrecked for days or weeks afterwards. And so the amount of work is really a good is a good level for me. Some of the other things on a more selfish level, you get to eat all you want the rest of the day after running a half marathon and don't feel guilty. I think the first half marathon I ran, I think I had ice cream 3 times that day and just didn't have one lick of guilt in my conscience. So that was nice. But on a more community-minded level, I think the half marathon is a good distance because – you can kind of rope a friend into working up to that distance too. You know, you've all known someone who has maybe run a 5K, and then they look at you and say, "Oh, I can never run a half marathon," and you can fire right back at them and say, "Yes, you can. I'll help you, and you know, let's do this together." And it's something that is attainable for someone who is maybe fairly new to running, or maybe doesn't consider themselves a runner. And so I think the half marathon is just such a good distance to really rope a buddy into. And so that's another reason why I like that distance.
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, a lot of common themes that have been said before. But I love that last bit about almost like it can be a gateway drug to distance running. You get somebody in and whether they end up advancing, you know, farther or not, it, like you said earlier as well, and like so many have said, it's far enough that it's a big goal, it's something to work towards, it's a great sense of achievement. Lots of reasons to love the half marathon, no question about that.
Yeah, for sure. Gateway drug. I like that. I'm going to start using that too.
There we go. No copyright infringement. You're welcome to use it as much as you want.
Perfect.
But how'd you get into running, Mike? Is that been something that's been part of your life since you were younger, or where'd you fall into the sport to begin with?
Yeah, well, growing up, I was always active, but all my athletic endeavors involved a ball of some sort. So I grew up playing everything, you know, football, basketball, soccer, volleyball. But for me, just to straight up run, you know, that was punishment for the sports that I did growing up. And so running for me wasn't really part of my life as it is now, as far as, you know, running a lot of 5Ks or half marathons or anything. So team sports were really my main focus growing up and even into college. And I'd occasionally jump into a 5K or something like that for a good cause or whatever. And then into early adulthood, I signed up for a 5K. I believe it was a turkey trot in up in Traverse City, Michigan. And I remember having to stop and walk twice just to run a 5K. And at that moment, I realized that, you know, I didn't need to be the fastest person out there, but to have to stop and walk twice to complete 3 miles was just more than my pride could really handle. And so at that point, I realized, okay, maybe I need to take this a little more seriously, or at least become a little more viable. And right after that, my wife convinced me to sign up for a 10K, which was way farther than I'd ever run. And I thought she was crazy, but we signed up for it and did it and had fun with that. And then right after that, she said, "Well, now we should do a half marathon." And I said, "Okay." And then fly to the moon after that, right? And she just looked at me, because she'd done one before. And she said, "Nope, if we just, you know, set out a schedule and we plan it out months ahead of time," she said, "we can do this." And so I just kind of looked at her like, "Okay." And so we signed up for it. We did it. And I guess I should backtrack about halfway through the training, there was one point where I forget if it was weather or just the busyness of the week, but I missed a scheduled run, and I wasn't able to get it in. And I remember being grumpy about that. And it was the first time I'd ever been grumpy about not getting to run. And at that point, that's when I kind of had one of those aha moments, like, oh, am I one of those crazy runners now? And that's when I think it first clicked for me that I actually was enjoying running and really wanted to make it a lifestyle after that. And so, you know, geared up for the rest of the half marathon, finished it, had a great experience. And yeah, from then on, I said, yeah, this is a good lifestyle. I want to make this a regular thing. So that's how I got into running. And so, yeah, I wouldn't say I've always been a runner. I wouldn't say I'm a natural runner, but I love to do it. And so that's where I'm at today.
Gotcha. And I mean, that's ultimately the name of the game, is that it's something that you enjoy doing, and whether, you know, whether it, like you said, whether you're a quote unquote natural, whatever that might mean, you know, it's one of those things that you can work at, you can see improvement, you can find joy, you can have a good time. You know, and what else do you want out of a hobby as an adult, you know, in this world, really?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, it's easy to look at the front of the pack at lining up for a race and get intimidated by the studs that are up there. But if as long as you're not getting paid to run, then why not just have fun with it? You know, be healthy and just try to look to improve, you know, little by little.
Yeah, exactly. And what a great way to kind of lead into what will probably be the bulk of the rest of our chat today, of ways to improve and, you know, looking at some form and avoiding injuries and all those types of things. But before we dive completely into that, you know, so, you know, with your credentials as a physical therapist, is something that obviously takes a lot of work, extra schooling, things like that to get to. Was sure. Physical therapy something that had been on your, you know, was that a long time goal, or where did you, how did you go decide to go down that route?
Yeah. Well, again, sports was life growing up. So I kind of always knew I wanted to do something in the athletics realm. But in high school, I had two knee surgeries from basketball injuries. And if it hadn't been for those, I probably would have tried to play small college basketball. And then who knows after that, maybe become a teacher like the rest of my family. But after the second knee surgery, that pretty much ended my hopes of playing ball in college. But it clued me into the need for rehab. And because essentially, I believe that if I'd had good physical therapy after my first knee surgery, then I would not have had to have my second one. And so that's when I first got clued into it. And that was my junior year of high school, I believe. And so that's when I made the decision that I wanted to become a physical therapist to try to help other people. And so then it's been a pretty straightforward process since. So I knew that going into college, I knew that through undergrad, I knew that obviously once I got into PT school, it was, you know, I was excited to be able to join the professional ranks and then help people like I had been.
Yeah. And now, I mean, if I read your website correctly, it's not like you work exclusively with runners, but that's something that you really enjoy doing. When did did that kind of merged passion start to come once you had found that you enjoyed running, or did you like working with runners before that, or where did you kind of find that working with runners and endurance athletes is kind of a sweet spot for you?
Sure. Yeah. The first clinic, I've always worked in small outpatient clinics, and so always worked with a variety of orthopedic cases. So coming out of school at that point, I didn't like running at that point. And I wasn't set on that. Like I said, I was more focused on team sports. But the first clinic that I worked at, I happened to get to work alongside a handful of pretty hardcore triathletes and like Ironman level guys. And then a handful of high school teams also were coming in. And I noticed that runners were quite often the ones seeking the most therapy. And so I got to know a couple of high school coaches just through the clinical setting, through them coming in for their own injuries and then from them being interested in how their athletes were doing. And they started asking me to come give injury prevention talks to their teams. And so I just started to show up and kind of give general injury prevention talks, just basically saying, okay, you need to stretch, you need to, you know, work on your core strength and that kind of stuff. But with that and with them asking questions as far as, you know, how should your foot strike the ground or how do you improve your form, stuff like that, that's when I kind of started to, geek out on the running form topic. And so more through their questions, that kind of forced me to dive deeper. And so the deeper you get into it, the more fun it really is. And the more you, I guess, dive into the biomechanics of it all, how the joints are moving, how they should move, how does the flexibility impact all that, that's when it became more interesting to me, was working with those teams. And so that actually preceded my own, I guess, intentionality with becoming a runner. And so I'm really thankful to some of those teams and some of those coaches that, even though they were just looking to help their teams, that kind of helped give me direction on who I like to focus on. And it was fun to stand in front of a group of teenagers and see the light bulbs go on and see them get it, as far as, you know, their coaches can harp on them and say, okay, you need to do your stretches. And most teenagers respond with an eye roll, you know.
Shoot, most adults just respond with an eye roll too.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah, and so to be able to then give a demonstration and say, hey, here, you, come on up here, dude, and do some sort of a test and say, hey, look, okay, here, I'm going to test your core strength here and just do a little standing strength test. And, you know, I can push them around a little bit. And I say, okay, here, let's stretch your hip flexors and see if that changes anything. So we do a little stretch, and I say, okay, stand up again. Let me test your strength. And you see their strength improve. And all of a sudden they look at you like you're some sort of voodoo witch doctor. But then you explain, say, well, no, look, if you're tight in this area, it's going to make other muscles not work as well. So you're doing all the crunches in the world, but look, your core is not actually as strong as it needs to be. You just gained way more strength just by, doing a couple of proper stretches. So when you see the light bulbs go on, then that's exciting. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a fun thing. And that's an encouraging thing, and makes, you know, made me want to like dive deeper and deeper into how I can help runners tune up their bodies in the best way to run effectively.
Yeah, and as you're talking, there's so many things that you know, like, oh, we need to touch on this, and then you say something else. Oh, I need to follow up on that, and so I got a feeling I'm gonna end up missing a few things as we go through here, but that's part of the fun of just kind of letting this thing go where it may. But
sure.
You know, well, I don't know. I mean, let's zoom out, and then we'll maybe zoom in as we go. But
sounds good.
You know, on a big picture, general running population, what are a couple of things or where, you know, we all have obviously a finite amount of time. We've got our work, we've got our family obligations and responsibilities. We've got, you know, some leisure type things that probably includes running. We've got to sleep. We got all these things. And there's only, you know, so many hours in a day. I bite a dollar for every time somebody's like, man, if I had time to foam roll, and if I had time to stretch, and if I had time to strength train, if I had time to do yoga, if I had time.
Yeah.
Where would be the best place to start for that person that, and I'm probably guilty too, that has more excuses than they have time for why they can't do all of the little things that we all know are so important. Where's the biggest bang for your buck? Is it the hip flexors like you just talked about with the high school kids and stretching that out from sitting so much, or what is a good first place to start on this whole injury prevention, improve your form, and in so doing improve your performance type of conversation?
Well, that is an awesome question. I don't know if I could in good conscience say there's one right. single stretch that's going to be best for everyone. You know, that's an awesome question. And I'll say this, I think it's worthwhile for everybody to make a case study of one out of themselves. And by that, I mean, you know, in a minute here, I'll mention a handful of what I think are the most important ones. Mm-hmm. And I think it'd be worthwhile for everyone to pick one of those stretches and say, okay, based on my experiences, based on what I know about myself, maybe this is an area where I'm always tight. So maybe I'm going to really diligently do this one stretch as part of like a dynamic warm up, and then maybe as a cool down, you know, do it more static, and then see how they feel and see what their body responds best to. So hip flexors are definitely one of the top areas to work on. So as a, for instance, if someone thinks, okay, hip flexors, maybe that's my issue. So then before they run, whatever other, you know, little warm up they do, really diligently stretch out their hip flexors for, you know, a couple minutes really. Mm-hmm. And then go out for your run and see how you feel. And then when you're all done, then, you know, stretch them out again just to keep them limber. And then just see how you feel the next day as well. Do you feel more limber? Do you feel like you recovered better from your run? You know, in which case, and you may say, okay, you know, maybe that's my go-to stretch. For a lot of males, a lot of times the glutes or the posterior hip is a real big area. A lot of females too. Mm-hmm. But I think that's a hip flexors. I'd say glutes are another big one. So you get down into like the pigeon pose stretch, which I think I've got a video on that too on the website. Mm-hmm. And same thing, you know, do that one right before your stretch or right before you run. I'm sorry. And see how you feel. Do that afterwards and see if that makes a big difference. And so I'd say hip flexors, I'd say glutes. You can't dismiss calves for mm-hmm. sure. And I think the adductors, the inner thigh mm-hmm. muscles, are actually not given much credit in the running world. Just because we think about them as being more frontal plane muscles, you know, more side to side type mm-hmm. things. Am I allowed to use geeky terms already on here?
Sure, sure. And if we can break them down a little bit if necessary. But yeah, go ahead.
All right. But the adductors, the inner thigh muscles, are actually really, really important for allowing your hips to open up like they should as they're swinging back and forth, and keeping your hamstrings and your hip flexors from being overburdened in certain ways. And so that's an area that for me, quite honestly, could be about my most important one. And so to do basically like a kneeling hip flexor stretch, except for you know, rotate the kneeling leg 90 degrees and really stretch that inner thigh. And so on the same note, as far as I'd put that one right up there with some of the more important stretches to do or muscles to target. So to do that in a dynamic way as part of your warm up, and then really take the time to stretch it out again after you run can be very helpful. So I don't know if that answers your question real directly, but I think for people who are time strapped, which is most of us, mm-hmm. it's worth taking that extra 3 minutes before you run, that extra 1 minute afterwards, and to try to hone in on what one stretch, maybe two stretches. Really makes the biggest difference for you. And I think everyone can find that amount of time. And then I think it's also worthwhile to maybe once a week, maybe twice a week, really do a nice dedicated half hour long session of really some thorough stretching, some foam rolling. Mm-hmm. At least for me, I don't feel the need to foam roll every day. I know some people will say they foam roll two or three times a day. And I think that's a little excessive, quite honestly. I don't know what your experience is with that. But I think just to take a half hour twice a week really would make a huge difference to really focus on stretching, foam rolling, those key areas. And I don't see why you can't get that in while you're watching TV, while you're kicking back in the evening. So I guess for me, I have a busy job. I've got four young kids. Life is busy, but I think I can find a half hour, you know, twice a week. Maybe it's while you're watching TV, like mm-hmm. I said, or while I'm catching up with my wife at the end of the day. And when I actually take the time to do it, boy, it makes a big difference for several days. So I think to take that extra 3 to 5 minutes in and around your run and twice a week to do a half hour session really should be potent enough for most people. So. Does that answer your question directly
yeah.
enough?
Yeah, I think so. And I love the point. I was gonna echo it, or I was gonna say it if you hadn't, but I'll echo it mm-hmm. now that you know, 30 minutes may sound like a lot, but like you said, while you're watching TV or while the kids are watching something on TV or whatever, when you would just be sitting there on the couch thumbing through Facebook, which I mean, we can all say we don't want to do that very often, but we all are guilty. Thumb through Facebook on your phone while you're sitting down holding some stretches and doing some rolling. I mean, if you make it an intentional part of your routine and you just say it Tuesday mm-hmm. and Thursday night, that's what I'm going to do. Like, mm-hmm. It'll happen. But if you just, you know, and I've been guilty of this, if you just say, I need to start foam rolling more, like that mm-hmm. that doesn't happen. Or I need to start stretching more. That just doesn't happen until you make an intention of this is when I'm going to do it. This is, you know, this is how it's going to happen. And then somehow those things start to get done. And like you said, a little bit can go a long way, and it can have a lasting, a cumulative effect as well if you're consistent with it.
Yeah, totally agree. And for me, a visual reminder works very, very well. Because, yeah, like you just said, to just vow to yourself that you're going to do it more often, you know, may work for some people. But for me, if I just leave my foam roller sitting there right next to the couch and I see that in the evening, it's like, oh, yeah, that helps trigger it for me. So anything you need to do to give a visual reminder or set a reminder on your phone, you know, it's whatever you need to do to be intentional.
Yeah, that's certainly certainly an important piece of it, and again, easy to overlook, but it's also a pretty easy fix of setting a reminder every you know whatever day on this at this time, boom, there it pops up, because you like I said, you're already on your phone, you're already on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or whatever, you're screwing around, you know, and I'm guilty too, so I need those reminders once in a while to get down and do some of that recovery work, you know, when it comes to all of different things. I noticed on the website you talked about flexibility, which we've already kind of touched on a little bit. Form and strength is kind of three core principles that runners can work on to you know stay healthy, improve their performance, things like that. When it comes to form, and you kind of mentioned this a bit earlier when you were talking about kind of working with some of the high school teams and getting involved and running from the physical therapy front. Is there such a thing as a perfect form? I'm kind of you know, like you said, kind of a case study of one believer that there's some good principles, but everybody kind of has to tweak and find their own adjustment. But is there a perfect form out there, or is it something where you know here are some good principles, and if so, what are those good principles for us to try to adapt and adjust to make sure we're not hurting ourselves on the form front?
Yeah, that's an awesome question, and I think to answer that, I'd say, is there a perfect form out there? Probably. Yeah, I think so. I think if you grabbed, you know, maybe 10 elites, you know, Olympic medalists, marathon winners, I'd say maybe four of them would have pretty perfect form, but the rest of them don't. And so is perfect form a bit of an elusive thing? I think it can be focused on too much, as far as you know, maybe you watch Des Linden or Shalane Flanagan or some other elite run, and you go, oh, I need to look like that, and then you try to make your form look like that, and you know, that can be a big mistake. And I think it's important to know your own body, and I think it's important to understand the underlying principles, kind of like you mentioned, and try to think with the principles and go from there, and not try to just fit yourself into a nice little box of what perfect form looks like. But if you can understand the principles of what good form is, then you can work on those things more organically. And by that, and I appreciate you bringing up some of the comments I made on my website. You know, for me, there's the flexibility, there's the form, and there's the strength. And I think all too often we tend to focus on the form itself. When, and I've heard other people say this, people who are smarter and more well known say that your form is your body expressing itself in motion. And so your running form is going to really depend on how your body is, how your body works. You know, how good is your strength? How good is your flexibility? And also, what's your genetic makeup? Again, for me personally, I've kind of got big feet for a runner. My body structure isn't a natural runner, you know, one leg a little longer than the other, a little scoliosis kind of thing. For me to try to arbitrarily run with this textbook hypothetical perfect form is probably going to take a lot of work and probably really isn't all that attainable. And so for me to just focus on only my form would probably be a bit of a mistake and might be setting myself up for maybe not only disappointment, but also, you know, some injury perspective. And so I think it's important to try to gain flexibility, gain strength to try to get the principles of running as well as you can. And I think we can agree on this, you know, some of the underlying principles are definitely important as far as you don't want to land with a huge, heavy heel strike. You know, that's not good for really anyone. You don't want your arms flailing all over the place. You know, I can't think of anyone that's really a good thing for.
Right.
And so there's definitely some important principles. You don't want to run with a real low cadence, also not a super high one. but there's wiggle room there as far as what's the best for each person. So I think it's important to again, start where you're at and try to get an honest assessment of what's realistic for you, and then work on things, again, more organically. So if overstriding is an issue, you know, if you're landing with your foot too far out in front of you, you know, there's some form drills to work on that. You know, there's A drills, there's power skips, there's heel lifts, there's things to work on, and that's great. But I think you should also be asking the question, well, why do I overstride? Is that, you know, what is my body trying to tell me through that? You know, is it that I don't have balance on one leg, and so I kind of need that extra ground contact time to gather myself? Or is it weakness in my glutes? Is it lack of flexibility somewhere? And if you can figure that out, then my best advice to people is like, okay, yeah, work on your form, but maybe more importantly, let's try to work on your balance. So maybe while you're brushing your teeth, you know, stand on one leg, or here, make sure you're doing this one stretch before you run, and that should balance things out better for you. And so I think that's more important to realize where you're at and understand the principles, and then try to gain flexibility where you need to, try to gain strength where you need to, and then see how your form shakes up from there. And once you're confident you're working on the flexibility and the strength, well, then, yeah, there's certainly form drills to make you more efficient and to really polish things off. But I think they need to be done in the correct order.
Gotcha. So for somebody who's what's the word I'm trying to look for? For someone who that really resonates with, that like, all right, my, you know, for the example you gave, my foot's landed too far out in front. I want to correct that. And like you said, you know, what is maybe the underlying cause of that? How is somebody who's not a physical therapist, who doesn't have a good base of knowledge of the biomechanics, of the kinesiology, of things like that, it's just a runner, and they recognize that every time that their foot is probably landing too far out in front of them, and that may be an area where they can improve. How are they going to know, or are there ways to assess what those problems might be that someone can do for themselves, or do they need to go see someone? Like how does that piece of the puzzle come together?
Oh, that's a great question, and I think if you can really figure that out, that's awesome. Yeah, that's a really good question. Obviously, if you've got someone that you know and trust, that's an expert, you know, someone like yourself, Denny, for the people that call you their coach, or if you've got a physical therapist that can be a resource to you, that's excellent. As far as trying to figure that out for yourself, I would say try to figure out what flexibility deficits you have around your hips or around your calves, and kind of start there. And again, try to basically make a case study of one out of yourself, and just see if so for instance, if you stretch out your hip flexors and then run again, and have someone videotape you. I think that'd be a start. And you can just have a buddy videotape you with their phone. And then see if it looks different before and after you really stretch out one of those muscles that we talked about earlier. And if one of those makes a difference, then there's a pretty good chance that that's part of the issue for you. Right. And so I would start there. That's a really good question, Denny. I wasn't prepared for that one.
Sorry, not trying to give you a gotcha, no. But I just know that people are listening, going, "All right, well, here's the problem here's a potential problem that I might try to fix, but how the heck do I address? You know, if you're saying find the underlying cause of the problem, you know, how do I figure that out? And it is tough, and I think that maybe even for somebody certainly like myself, you know, I've got the athletic training background, like I know a few things, but it's one thing to see it on someone else and help to assess it, and it's another thing to see it on myself, or to more likely probably not see it on myself because I don't have that perspective of how to look at it and things like that. It's so much less objective. It's so much more subjective, which is tough. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe there's not a great answer other than to, like you said, be that case study of one. And if you recognize that something maybe could be improved upon, try some different things. It's going to be a process. It's going to be some trial and error. and pay attention, take notes, whatever. Videotape is a great resource, like you said. And hopefully you can kind of start to piece some things together. And then if you do have someone that you can bounce a question off of, you'll have some pieces and some information to give them, which is only going to help make their recommendations even more poignant to you and your situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll say this too, you know, and kind of like you alluded to, like if you were to go up and ask somebody, like, are you overstriding? They would look at you like, I don't know. I just run. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm overstriding, but it feels normal to me. And so it is tough to be truly unbiased about your own running. And so I think just to have someone at least videotape you and look at yourself, that right there can be a huge aha moment for people. Like when I do evaluations with people, just for them to see themselves on camera, a lot of times I go, oh, wow, I look like that. And so a lot of times I'll tell people too, when it comes to trying to evaluate their own form, is maybe not so much pay attention to your feet, but look at what the arms are doing. Mm-hmm. A lot of times your arms can be a tattletale for what's going on. And so if you don't have a nice, clean forward and backward arm swing going, then that can be a huge giveaway as far as what the underlying issue is. And so if your arms are swinging too much in circles, you know, across and over, it could be a lot of hip rotational weakness. If they're riding too high, that could be where the overstriding is coming from. It's definitely a tricky thing. And a lot of my videos are really geared towards trying to unwind that and untangle that. And the older videos that I had, or the older blog posts on my website, are a lot of case studies, and the video and the production value isn't great, but there's, I don't know, 20 or 30 case studies where I take a runner and have a quick little footage of them running, and then I kind of dissect them and say, this isn't this, and this is what they're doing wrong. And here are the exercises they do about it, and now look at them run afterwards. Right. And so my hope, and this is, again, trying to answer your question, is that if someone's really looking to improve their form, that they can go into one of those posts and say, okay, I think I kind of look like that person. And, okay, look what they did. Okay, they did that stretch, and then they did that strengthening exercise. Okay, well, maybe I'll try those. And in that way, they can – learn from other people's stories. So, because your question is such a good one. I don't know that there's one real quick, straightforward answer to that. But at least those older blog posts are designed to be a resource for people to sort that out. So, yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, certainly. And if nothing else, like you said, I mean, it's a good place to start from. It's a good chance to see somebody that might be have a form that's similar to yours. And if so,
yeah,
it at least gives you an area to hone in on and see if the same things that worked in the video helps with you. Mm-hmm. So definitely check those types of things out if you're curious about your form and you want to maybe, you know, or if you even kind of know that you have a little hitch in your giddy up somewhere that you could try to figure out.
yeah.
Head over to runfizz.com and look through the archives and see if you can't find something that'll help you. So, Mike, we've talked about the flexibility bit a bit, and we've talked about the form bit a little bit. What about the strength component? Where are some areas? I've got a feeling I know a couple of them, but where are some areas that in general runners would benefit to have a little bit of time and attention on strengthening any particular trouble spots?
Yeah. It's a nice meat pitch right down the middle of the plate.
After the last couple of ones, I figured maybe I'll try to give you a little softball here.
I appreciate it. I would definitely start with the hips. Mm-hmm. And the glutes are a big part of that, but I think it's wise to not even just try to focus in on isolated glute strengthening exercises, but just think about just how can you make your hips stronger in general. So hips, I would definitely say core strength, and not just the abdominals, not just the six pack muscles, but all your core muscles. And there's dozens of them. So hips and core would definitely be my top ones. From there, foot strength, I think, is also very important. And distance runners are notorious for not being as strong in their feet as really they should be. So those would definitely be my top ones. And when it comes to hip strength specifically, probably my favorite hip strengthening exercise, I call it a twisty Superman. And I think it's there's video of it somewhere. If not, I'll make sure we got a good video of that. But for me, when every time your foot hits the ground and your muscles have to absorb the impact of the ground pushing back up on you, there's different planes of motion and muscles working at different angles. And so my favorite hip strengthening exercise, and hopefully everyone will be standing up ready to do this as we describe it here, right? In fact, I might even have to stand up just so I can explain it while I'm doing it. But you stand up, you balance on one leg, you lean forward, so you're sort of in like a single leg deadlift position, and then try to get your upper body and then the leg that's up in the air, try to get those parallel to the ground. And then in that position, what you want to do is then rotate your hips upward. So that way, if you're, say, balancing on your right leg and your left leg is parallel to the ground, that you rotate your hips to the left. And then in that position, you just do some little single leg squats. Mm. And it's a tricky position even to attain. So if you got to hold on to something, that's okay. But when you look at what different directions your hip is moving in and needing to absorb force, that exercise for me most closely mimics what direction all those forces are coming at you and how and where you really need strength the most. So to answer your question, I think hip strength is important. And for me, that exercise is the one that will really get you the most bang for your buck as far as developing hip strength. So hip strength, core strength, foot strength. So.
Gotcha. Good stuff. And if we can find a video for that, we'll definitely try to link up to that, because that's one that I think I followed you, but you know, okay. it would definitely be something that I think would be make a lot more sense to see it. So yeah, we'll definitely, yeah. If you're curious on that one, guys, we'll have that linked up, dizruns.com/575 once again. And when it comes to the foot strength, this is something I've talked about before. And I think like you said, I think a lot of folks, it's easy to overlook. It's easy to not even think about. It's not even to be on your radar. But, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, if a weak foot is just asking for problems, it's asking for problems both in your foot mm-hmm. and farther up the chain, because if you're trying to overcompensate because the muscles in your feet aren't strong enough, don't have the endurance necessary to go for, you know, whatever distances that you're running and racing, mm-hmm. it's just going to cause problems. And I feel like the when it comes to strengthening your feet, it's not as difficult as sometimes people think. But I'd love to hear your perspective on what are some things to do to kind of work those muscles in your feet a little bit, so that you do have that strength and endurance in those small little muscles that are down there on the bottoms of your feet.
Yeah, for sure. I think my favorite basic foot strengthening move, and I stole this one from Jay DeSherry, who in my mind is about the best physical therapist when it comes to running issues. He calls it toe yoga. That's what you do, is you stand there with your bare feet or socks on, whatever. And you alternately raise your big toe up off the ground and push the other four down. And then you push your big toe down and raise the other four up, and you just go back and forth like that. And just doing that simple move can be very, very difficult for some people. But if you can get the hang of that, then that really develops the dexterity and the muscle coordination that you need in your foot when you run. And so if you can do that standing and then also do it while you're balancing on one leg, that's probably my favorite, like I said, entry-level foot mm-hmm. strengthening exercise. From there, doing some single leg calf raises, off of a step, where you do it not only straight, but with your foot turned a little bit in or out. Mm-hmm. And then really from there, when you look at how quickly your feet need to work, I think it's helpful to approach it from more of like a plyometric perspective too, assuming you don't have any pain or any issues. And one of my favorite ways to do that is I just call them spot jumps. So you just pick out four little marks on the floor. You can put little pieces of tape down. And then just put them in the shape of like a little box, maybe 1 foot apart, each of them. And then just simply jump or balance on one leg and just jump from spot to spot. And that develops balance. It develops that, again, that plyometric strength that you really need. So, yeah, those are some of my favorites.
Yeah, and not overly you know, intensive things like you can do while you're watching or while you're brushing your teeth, while you're washing dishes, while you're waiting for the pot to boil on the kettle or whatever. I mean, simple things to do that again, it just takes a little bit of intention of knowing what to do and just remembering to do it. And as long as you can do that, it really can make a difference. And I'm going to kind of assume, but certainly correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, those types of things are great for preventing plantar fasciitis, shin splints, all those types of things that are pretty common in the running world.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more there.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So a couple of other things as we're getting close to wrapping up today, Mike. Mm-hmm. One thing that you mentioned earlier when talking about your knee injury is that, you know, you kind of thought that maybe if you had a PT that maybe knew a bit more about what your specific injury was or whatever the case might be. I don't know that we really got into the details, but, you know, mm-hmm. that maybe it would have prevented the second knee injury. And so
yeah.
I'm curious with for us as runners, this is something that's maybe been a bit of a frustration for me at times where, you know, somebody will say, I went to the PT and they said this, and for whatever reason, like, you know, maybe that PT isn't a runner. Maybe they don't generally work with active populations, which, you know, it doesn't mean that person doesn't know their stuff, but it's different, you know, when you're working with different types of patients and clientele than with runners. So for somebody who's needs to go to a physical therapist for something or is looking for someone to help them with those types of situations, is there a way to kind of, I don't know, vet the folks that you might be working with to find somebody that maybe, you know, that maybe because they're a runner, they know more of what you're going through, or at least they work with athletic populations. So that helps. I mean, besides just asking that simple of a question, do you run? Is there a way to make sure or a tactful way to try to help find a person who's going to be more attuned to helping us than to just maybe get the, well, just don't run for a while and your problem's going to, like, that doesn't solve the problem because I'm a runner. So now we're creating a new problem because you're telling me not to run. Is there other options or ways to kind of go about doing that? If, I don't know if that's a great way to ask the question, but hopefully at least my intent comes across.
Yeah. I think I grasp what you're saying there. Yeah. How do you know if a physical therapist or medical professional is just going to say, well, just rest and ice for 6 weeks and then you'll be fine versus, you know, and I think, for one, getting a personal referral, if you have a friend or a running buddy who has really had good results with someone, that'd be the first place to start. And I think what you really need to find is someone who is willing to get to the root of the issue. And so, and I don't think there's any harm in, if say there's a physical therapy clinic near you that you're considering going to, if they have an email address, or obviously you can just call the office and I guess I'm speaking from my own experience here, but I guess, so for me, if someone was wanting to know if therapy with me would be a good idea, yeah, you know, I would love it if they just called and said, here's my situation. What would physical therapy with you look like? And I'd be more than happy to take 5 or 10 minutes. And if someone were to say, hey, I've got shin splints, what would physical therapy accomplish? And I think that's a valid question to ask. And I don't see any physical therapist either being offended by that or, quite frankly, not wanting to take 5 minutes to answer that for you. And so I don't see any harm, and hopefully I don't get a bunch of nasty phone calls from clinics here if I'm throwing them under the bus here or anything. But I don't think there's any harm in contacting a clinic or a practitioner and just saying, hey, what would you do for this? And if they say something to the effect of, oh, well, we'd ice and ultrasound you and an e-stem, well, that might not be, you know, those things have their place and could be helpful. But if they're not wanting to know more about you and wanting to say, you know, well, okay, tell me about your shin splints or how long has it been going on? What have you done before? And we need to get to the root of the issue. If they're not willing to, I guess, jump into the pit with you a little bit, then I'd say maybe keep looking. But if you talk to someone and they are asking you questions as far as, you know, what have you tried before? Have you done physical therapy before? Have you done any stretches or were there other injuries? Then I think that's a good sign that they're trying to get to the root of the issue and are really willing to walk alongside you with that. So again, another long-winded answer to a really good question. But
it's nothing wrong with a long-winded answer because it gives context and gives examples. And B, I'm glad I'm asking a couple decent questions because, you know, after 500 and something of these things, hopefully I've gotten a little bit better with my question asking. So I'll take that as a compliment. It's on some level.
Oh, absolutely.
again, as we're getting close to wrapping up, one other quick question before the old dreaded philosophical question at the end here.
Oh dear.
But I know you had mentioned somewhere in our back and forth that there might be a little bit of a book coming coming out. What are you working on there? And as somebody who has just finally gotten their book done, I know that that's an undertaking. So kudos to you for taking it and working on it. But what are you working on that front?
Yeah, well, first of all, I feel the need to maybe pick your brain on that, but maybe that's a topic for another interview, right?
Right.
But yeah, it's an injury prevention book. It's geared towards runners, and basically it's designed to help you try to sort out any issues that you've had as a runner. Because what I find is a lot of runners, if they're having an issue, say shin pain, hamstrings, hips, whatever, the first thing they do is they usually go to YouTube or Google and just start, you know, looking at things and looking up blog posts, looking up YouTube videos, especially. And we all know that there's some good information out of there and then just a lot of scary stuff and a lot of people who just aren't qualified to be given advice that are trying to give advice. And that scares me, and that frustrates me. And so, and then the other option then is if that doesn't work, then they often go see their doctor. And a lot of times their doctor says, well, rest for 6 weeks or don't run or okay, go see an orthopedic surgeon. And then your weeks of waiting to get into an orthopedic doctor, maybe trying to get an x-ray, MRI, whatever. And that can be a long drawn out process. And so the book is intended to try to fill that gap of being reliable but also being very accessible and very easy to get to. So, you know, YouTube is very accessible, but, you know, the reliability is scary. Going to see a doctor or surgeon or getting an x-ray or an MRI, you know, it's very reliable, but that can be, you know, very challenging, can be very costly and can take a lot of time. So the book is geared towards the common injuries of running and what to do about it. So it's pretty geeky as far as delving into the biomechanics and the common underlying cause of running injuries. And then it gives you tips on what to do for those common things. Mm-hmm. And so what it's really geared towards is to basically be a tool for runners to have so they can sort out their own injuries. And so, you know, your question from earlier about how to sort out your own running form, you know, the book really can speak to that a little bit as far as if you think form is an issue, then chances are you've also had some nagging little issues somewhere, in which case the book will help you sort out where some of your weaknesses may be, mm-hmm. and should help you get rid of the injury or the crankiness, and hopefully also translate to better form. So yeah, I think the book has the best potential to help you get rid of injuries, but also has potential to improve your form. So that's really what it's geared toward, to try to fill in that gap between YouTube and also between having to go see your doctor. So that's the intention of it.
Fantastic. Any anticipated kind of timeline or are we still in the infant stages?
It's still fairly early. Yeah, okay. Just about done with the rough draft. Got to jump through a bunch of hoops and everything. So I'm hoping to have it out in print by early fall.
Gotcha.
So we'll see. But hey, what do you think? Should we give a book or two away to some of your listeners and do a little contest or something like that?
I think we could do something like that if you want to. I always am a fan of any type of injury prevention type of advice. So yeah, if we can do that, I think we can make something happen.
Awesome. That'd be great.
Yeah. So, once we kind of get maybe, you know, get a little bit closer to the nailed down date, let me know and we'll throw something out there for folks and see what we can't do to give that away. And I appreciate it. Certainly, Mike, thank you for the offer.
Yeah. Yeah. My pleasure.
So philosophical question time is you know, and we're going to stick on the same type of topic. This is one of those times when I'm kind of going off of my proverbial small script of questions, but, you know, and I'll give you a second to kind of think on it, but, mm-hmm. you know, the philosophical question is something that I like to do at the end. It's very open-ended, just like the introductory question. And for you, I'd be curious, and this might be a bit tougher than I intend it to be, but I would just be curious if you have something that really is kind of one of those quote unquote accepted truths or common bits of wisdom in the running community that's maybe could be related to form, could be related to strength, injury prevention, anything that is kind of in your wheelhouse there, but that just it's something that so many runners adhere to swear by, love, and it's just kind of like nails on the chalkboard to you because it's not the silver bullet that everybody thinks it is. So, you know, is there something out there that runners tend to believe that's maybe a myth, maybe an urban legend, maybe an untruth, or some combination of those that just irks you from the performance injury prevention type of standpoint, that maybe you can kind of help set the record straight a little bit here as we're wrapping up today?
Oh man, that's another great question. Very open-ended. Appreciate that. So that's basically permission to go on a rant,
yes,
in any direction I want,
soapbox,
isn't it?
Climb on up on that soapbox and let's let it fly.
Oh dear. Wow. Well, I think kind of like we alluded to earlier, I think so often you get a person or a group that creates this dogma of, oh, everyone has to run a certain way and everybody should run this way. And I'm just going to throw the barefoot runners under the bus here for just a moment. And I think barefoot running can have its place and everything. But I think for the people who say, oh, this is the way we were meant to run, because of that, that's how you should run. And that's how it should be for everybody. And I think for some people, I think that can be a very positive thing. But for other people, it may not be. And so I think that if I can take a shot at anything, I think it's the dogma that there's one right way to do to run, or one right way to do anything. And I think that's where you got to be super, super careful and take your own story and your own experiences into play. And I guess case in point with that, I'm working with a gal now who just on her own decided that she needed to become a 4-foot strike runner. And I asked her why, and she said, well, I had this other friend who did it. And plus there's all these blog posts and all these articles that talk about how that's the most efficient way to run. And that was a big palm smack to the forehead moment to say, well, the people who say that 4-foot striking is absolutely the way to run, I just don't think you can make that claim, because if you look at the force vectors and kind of geeking out a little bit, mm-hmm. and you know you don't want to overstride, yeah. But if you stay on your toes, that's going to the extreme opposite. But what you're missing out on is the loading that the muscles need in order to fire properly. And if you are staying on your toes all the time, then your muscles are tensed up all the time, and you're not using your muscles as efficiently. Mm-hmm. And so to not take that into consideration really frustrates me a lot. And I think it's been dangerous for some people to try to just swallow that hook, line, and sinker that they need to be only 4-foot striking. You know, 4-foot striking has been really helpful for some people, and I don't want to knock that because I think it can be very effective if done correctly and if the person has really been well thought out and well guided in that. So I don't want to be hypocritical and say, you know, be too dogmatic that way.
Right.
But I think to just do it arbitrarily because someone else did it, I think that's very, very dangerous. And so I think each person really needs to really, consider their own story before just diving into something like that. So hopefully that all made sense.
Yes. No, that absolutely does. And I couldn't agree more. So I'm not going to tread on top of it. I'm just going to stay out of the way and we'll wrap things up, because I think that's a great thing to keep in mind, that there is no
cool
universal solution to anything, and running or otherwise. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. So once again, guys, if you want to check out more about what Mike's got going on, some of his videos, information, all that kind of good stuff, at runphys.com, runphys.com, Instagram at runphys, Twitter at Mike Runphys. And again, we'll have things linked up, disruns.com/575. So that is where we'll put a bow today. Thank you again, Mike, for taking the time today. Really, really appreciate it. And again, just appreciate your time and wish you nothing but the best going forward. All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope that you enjoyed the conversation between Mike and myself. And as always, I'd be curious to know what stood out to you from this episode. What was something that we talked about today that that hit close to home for you, or made you scratch your head a little bit, or just made you stop and think and maybe even rewind a little bit to listen to it again. For me, it was something that kind of came up a few times, kind of kept bubbling to the surface as we talked during today's chat. And it's just the idea of being your own personal case study. You know, that idea that what works for many or what works for some may or may not work for you. And the only way to figure that out is through trial and error. You know, I think that we're all guilty of this. I know I am, of kind of looking for that cure, that miracle cure, that one thing that we can do that's going to make the world a difference in our running or in our business or in our family life or in our other relationships or whatever it is. We're always looking for that quick and easy solution. And I know that there is no quick and easy solution, yet I still look for it. So you may be in that same boat as well, where you know, but you're still looking for that one thing. And, you know, in talking with Mike today, it was clear that from his perspective and, you know, logically from my perspective as well, that the best thing we can do is be our own test subject, our own case study is the way he put it, where we're just trialing and erroring. You know, you try something, see if it works. If it doesn't work, you know, try it again. If it still doesn't work, try something different. But when it comes to improving our performance, decreasing our risks for injuries, just becoming, you know, better, whatever that means to you, or whatever your definition of better is in our sport, the best thing you can do is try different things and not just be, you know, following the herd, not just be, you know, okay with the status quo. Try different things, test the results, see what happens for you. If it works, great, keep it. If it doesn't work, no big deal. It doesn't mean it doesn't work for everybody. It just doesn't work for you. So you move on to try something different. And this is that continual process of trying, experimenting. You know, it's the scientific method all over again from fifth grade science. You know, have your hypothesis, test it out, observe the results, and then draw your conclusion and go back and find the next hypothesis, test it out, conduct the experiment, which is you trying it out, seeing how it works, and repeat and repeat. So that was my takeaway. Be your own case study. Be your own example of trying different things and seeing what works and finding out what ultimately works best for you. So that was my takeaway. What about you? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet on the Twitters at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. And as always, you can head over to the show notes for this episode or any episode and let me know your feedback there, your thoughts, your takeaways. Your overall impressions are always all appreciated. And for this episode, once again, DizRuns.com/575. And we'll also have some of the videos linked up as well. So definitely check those out if you're curious to see some of the exercises that we talked about or the stretches or anything like that demonstrated on the videos. And definitely, again, head over to Mike's website and go through the blog post. You can also find it on you know, just search Run Fizz on YouTube, and you can find his videos there as well. Great resource. So happy to have him share that with me and with you. Something that we can all definitely learn from and use in our running careers. So with that, we'll go ahead and put a bow on this thing. Don't forget, once again, energybits.com. Use the code DIZRUNS, all one word at checkout, to save yourself 20% and to put a couple of shekels in the old coffers here at DizRuns HQ. With that, we'll go ahead and wrap this thing up for today. Thank you again for listening. Thanks for telling your friends. Thanks for helping the show grow. Really appreciate it. And as the show comes out, if you're here in the States, at least, it's Memorial Day. So have a great Memorial Day, or hopefully you had a great Memorial Day. And if you're elsewhere in the world, just hope you're having a great day, a great week, whenever it is that you listen to this. Really appreciate you taking the time, and certainly looking forward to talking to you again soon. So until then, please be well, take good care, and happy running. See you guys.